that will move this meeting to a higher place. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for where we have come, but the meeting needs to move. If you agree with that, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This environment must hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, because after this word, I think there will be time for us to really exercise ourselves unto prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. My life is characterized with prayer. So we must pray. Praise God. And the more we pray, the more we are getting delivered. Hallelujah. And there will be answers to all the numerous questions and the numerous problems that we have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll be sharing with us the battle against Goliath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, under this, I'll be talking about trying to find out who Goliath is. And then we shall look at the strategies for the battle against Goliath. Amen. How many of us have heard about the story about Goliath and David? Can I see your hands up if you have heard about Goliath and David? Amen. So those even in primary school, I'm expecting that you will follow on this story and participate in what will come out of this whole word this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Goliath does not respect children. Hallelujah. He doesn't respect older people either. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it not so? Huh? David was a small boy, but Goliath never respected that. Hallelujah. In fact, he despised him. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm expecting that, be you adult or a youth or children, you must know that one time or the other in your life, you are going to confront Goliath. Hallelujah. And Goliath is out for a do or die battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that battle is a battle to win territory. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I want to hear you say amen if you're with me. Praise God. And I would want to advise that children don't move around. We want to concentrate, because we are coming to a place where we must tear down the heavens. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the battle with Goliath is a battle of taking territories. Hallelujah. And there are many territories to be taken. Hallelujah. And his own strategy is winner takes it all. Hallelujah. If Goliath lays hand on you are finished. Hallelujah. And I believe that Goliath has been standing on the way of the people of God for a long time. And the time to deal with Goliath is now. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we come to the place of dealing with the strategies, we are going to marshal out strategies that we will need to be able to overcome Goliath. Because Goliath must be overcome. If somebody did overcome him in the scriptures, it does mean that you and I will also have the ability to overcome Goliath. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I will be looking at 1 Samuel. I'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Over the season, I have been looking at the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. And it has really blessed me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture talks about talked about Goliath. Hallelujah. So we will try and find out who he is and what he is really up to. Hallelujah. So I'll be reading from verse 1. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And were gathered together at Sukkoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Sukkoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." Hallelujah. "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them." The location of the battle is very, very important. You must note that this battle, hallelujah, is a battle on the mountains. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Therefore, when we talk about mountain, we are talking about what? Huh? It's a spiritual altitude. A spiritual height. So it's a spiritual place. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe so much that the things written in the scripture, even though they have physical description, are more or less spiritual in its totality. Hallelujah. Even though it might be historical, it might sound to you as being historical, the reality is that it is a spiritual book that you're looking at. Praise God. Amen. Forget all that they teach you in CRUK and the rest of them. We're talking about a spiritual book. Whenever you take up the Bible, just have it in mind that you are dealing with something what? Spiritual. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Philistines have gathered and they are on this mountain. In other words, they are gathered on a spiritual plane. And Israel with Saul are also on the other side of the mountain on a spiritual plane. So the whole thing we are talking about spiritual warfare here. Are you with me? It's a spiritual warfare we are talking about. This encounter is in the spirit. It is not necessarily in the flesh. And we are going to try to break it down so that we understand that we are constantly engaged in spiritual what? Warfare. Constantly, constantly. Hallelujah. And anytime you lose that awareness, you are likely going to, it is your own trouble. Hallelujah. When we lose sight that constantly we are engaged in spiritual warfare, then the enemy takes advantage of that little space. Hallelujah. Therefore, I must consciously and constantly remind myself that I am engaged in spiritual warfare. Praise God. I want to hear amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Nobody will sleep in this meeting in the name of Jesus. Amen. Alright, so the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Hallelujah. In other words, if you win this battle, you will take the whole of the mountain. Hallelujah. Praise God. You will be in control of the mountain. You will be in charge of the things that go on in the mountain, in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Hallelujah. I want to dwell on who is Goliath. So let us go a little down so that we'll just begin to pick out the characteristics and the personality of who Goliath is. Hallelujah. He says, "And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight, or that we may fight together. Praise God. We'll just hold on there for a moment. Just want to know the description. Who this man called Goliath is. Hallelujah. The scripture says that Goliath is what? A champion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know who a champion is? Hallelujah. Amen. A champion is one that has distinguished himself in the act, be it a game or warfare. He has been long in warfare. And as it were, he has been winning. Is it not so? For you to be a champion, you must have been winning. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, you have overcome many. Hallelujah. If it's in a race, you have dusted many people. 100 meters, you are just, hallelujah, ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, the word champion actually means double. Or one that is miles away from, in terms of experience, from the rest of the army. He is miles away. He is able to lead warfare because of his long years of experience. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, that is Goliath. In terms of experience, he has wide experience. In fact, nobody is able to stand before him in battle. In other words, he has had many warfares, and he has always won. Therefore, when he stands up to speak, men are afraid of him. Are you with me? Praise God. That is who Goliath is. Hallelujah. Therefore, when he came into this battle and Saul sighted him, he said, this man that has had a lot of experience in warfare, hallelujah, the people trembled and were afraid. He has a very wide and long credentials of warfare, of how much he has won. Hallelujah. And I want you to take note of that, because it is important. A champion is also one that has separated himself mentally. He's always mentally, he just feels that I must always win. Hallelujah. Mentally, and he's also very, very intelligent. Cunning in craft. He is careful in battle. He is diligent. Hallelujah. And he is able to discern. Hallelujah. Praise God. If we have Italian, I'm not just telling you something that is there in the scripture. Hallelujah. Can we have Italian? Just punch on Goliath. Hallelujah. And you begin to see the characteristics and the nature of this man called Goliath. Very skillful, intelligent, hallelujah. He's diligent, he's mentally alert, mentally ready all the time, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. We'll move on. Amen. He has every manner of devices. Hallelujah. In other words, okay, just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians. He has devices. And when you say someone has devices, he has craft. He has a way of handling issues. Second Corinthians 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not what? Ignorant of his what? Devices. Hallelujah. At least this one I'm trying to let out of the bag who Goliath is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Quite intelligent. The devil is very, very intelligent, crafty, mentally alert. Hallelujah. And this personality we see in the life of Goliath. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So he's one that has devices, has cunning ways, has a way of manipulations, has his own way. And we also see, go with me to Isaiah. The name also means exiled or one that has been banished. So denude or to in a very discreet, because this is the character of the devil himself. Amen. His intention is to bring you and I to a place of disgrace. Hallelujah. To a place of captivity. He seeks to uncover us. Hallelujah. Amen. Captives being usually strict. Huh? You see the word discover. Hallelujah. Exile. Those are all the characteristics of Goliath. And you can see that it is akin, is likened to the very nature of Satan himself. Praise God. Are we together, brethren? And you know that the devil was exiled, is it not so? He was banished from heaven. Hallelujah. After sin entered into him. Is that which seeks to uncover. You know, the whole thing that he did in Garden of Eden was to do what? To remove the covering. Are we together? Praise God. The whole strategy of the devil, he knew that when once the glory departs, Adam and Eve would just discover that they are what? Naked. Are you with me? Are we together, brethren? I just want us to follow. Because this is the character and this is the nature of Goliath himself. So who you are dealing with is not really the historical Goliath that you know. You are dealing with a spiritual entity whose sole intention is to bring you to a place of captivity. To bring you to a place of shame. To bring you and I into a place of disgrace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just for emphasis, Genesis 3. Genesis 3. This is the nature of Satan himself. Verses 6 and 7. He says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were what? Opened. And they knew that they were what? Naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, immediately they went into that path of disobedience, the glory lifted. They just discovered that they are naked. And that is the sole plan of the enemy. Hallelujah. The Bible in Isaiah describes him as a cherub that does what? It overshadowed them. Hallelujah. Immediately the glory of God departed, something covered them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they were in that state until God had to call out to them. Say, what have you done? Hallelujah. And they started explaining. Hallelujah. So Goliath is a champion. He's a master of his game. So also the devil is a master of his game. He knows, you know, how to manipulate. He knows the areas of your weakness. He knows you and I. He's mentally alert. He discerns and understands the condition that you and I are in, the condition of the church. Hallelujah. Because here, he wasn't just dealing with an individual. Are you following me? He was dealing with what? The whole of Israel. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So he wasn't just dealing with an individual. Even though an individual, he came down to the point where he said an individual. And that individual is you and I today. Hallelujah. The church is made up of who? Individuals in the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the implication of this is that if the devil or if Goliath was able to defeat, if he was able to defeat one person, the implication is that all Israel stand what? Defeated. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who says that the devil doesn't understand the principle of body ministry? He understands it. Hallelujah. He knows the implication. Hallelujah. And that is why in the body, we need to be in the body. Because if you stand alone, he strikes and that is it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he knows that he's not able to overcome the body. He said, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. He understands that principle. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the devil understands this. Hallelujah. Number two, Goliath is a spirit man. Hallelujah. He's a spirit man. I will explain that. He's a spirit man covered with every manifestation of the flesh. Hallelujah. Goliath is a spirit man. Hallelujah. I'm saying that he's a spirit, and yet he's what? A man. Hallelujah. In other words, Goliath is a spiritual experience. Hallelujah. That has a physical manifestation in real time, real world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is likely that some men in some way will be manifesting the spirit of Goliath. Hallelujah. And the church is daily encountering the spirit of Goliath. And his intention is seeking to overrun you and I, to overrun the church. Hallelujah. And I can tell you that Goliath, the spirit of Goliath, is at work in our time. Hallelujah. In the church. And that is why the church is becoming more and more fleshy and more worldly. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes you have to ask yourself a question. That this brother that I'm dealing with, how come that he easily... Hallelujah. He's easily gets angry. Why is it that a brother can easily tell a lie? Why is it that he can easily do this or do that? Why? Because the spirit of Goliath is in charge. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a spiritual experience. Goliath is a spiritual experience that you and I, from time to time, we manifest, we carry it about. Hallelujah. And we're going to prove it from the scripture. Hallelujah. And God's desire and God's expectation is that Goliath will be destroyed. Amen. So, Goliath is a spirit man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And his character, his way, modus, the way he carries on is through the manifestation of the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now look at the description of his how he covered himself. Just go back to 1 Samuel 17. You will see how he is described. And everything that has to do with him is covered with something. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 5. And he had an helmet of what? Brass on his head. Hallelujah. And you know what brass speak of? What does it speak of? Judgment, yes. What else? Hallelujah. Sir Jokes, what does brass speak of now? Only. Hallelujah. Brass also speaks about humanity. Hallelujah. Speaks about humanity. They call it to the baseline, the natural man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So everything about him has to do with humanity. Not only that, everything that covering him must come under God's what? Judgment. Are you with me? Are we together, brethren? Yes. Hallelujah. Right from his head to his very feet, they are all, it has elements of brass on his shoulder, on his feet, on his head, on his chest. Everything is covered with what? Brass. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But there is a converse. And if you go to Ephesians 6, you can see the other side of it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Hallelujah. And this is because what you are seeing, they are all also protective instruments of war. Is it not so? Are you with me, brethren? The one on his head, the one on his shoulder, the ones on his breast, one on his feet, on his loins, or whatever they are all protective instruments of war. They are defense instruments. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is a converse to it. There is the other side. And that you find in Ephesians chapter what? 6. Can we read it? Let's read it together. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise God. You can see the contrast. Are you with me? Goliath is covered from head to toe. He's covered with brass. Hallelujah. And the people that must contend with him, this is the kind of nature they should have. In Ephesians 6. Are you with me? Praise God. Are we together? Hallelujah. And if you don't understand this whole concept, then you are likely going to be an endangered species in the hands of Goliath. If you don't understand this principle, hallelujah, he has already covered himself. And he is there. And he is bulldozing his way. He is hitting. But this is what will save you and I in the day of battle. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he has his helmet. He has his coat of mail. And I have been looking at the weight of the coat of mail is 5,000 shekels. Hallelujah. And I have to break down 5,000. Hallelujah. Amen. I see 5 there, so I say, well, it is grace. Is it not so? Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then I saw 3 O's there. Hallelujah. And something tells me that there is something funny about this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my understanding there is that this is grace stretched too far. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Grace stretched too far. Huh? And that is ultimate what? Ultimate reconciliation. Hallelujah. You don't understand what ultimate reconciliation is? You're all looking at me as if... Amen. This is his coat of mail. That is what he's carrying. And that is the deception. Because he tells you that, listen, don't you worry. Everything will be all right. Everybody will be saved. God is not such a bad God that he's going to condemn everybody in hell. And that is grace stretched too far. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And everything is just intermingled with brass. Everything he's covered himself with, they all have to do with brass. And God is calling us, hallelujah, that this is who this man is. He's a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual experience. And it is something that we all must stand and contend with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Now, I just want to move to, because this is just like laying the foundation. Amen. Amen. Now, having looked at this man called Goliath, hallelujah, there is a place of judgment for him. Hallelujah. Because he is the whole symbol that he represents, is that this must be judged. This spirit must be what? Judged. Hallelujah. This whole covering with brass that represents judgment, it means that Goliath is not allowed to live. Goliath must be destroyed, must be judged. Wherever it is found, it must be judged. Because it brags itself, it intimidates, it, you know, every manner of way it is using to bring the people of God down. And God has vowed that this spirit must be judged. He told a particular people in the scripture, he said, as long as I live, you see that Amalekite. Huh? Amalekites must what? He must constantly be at war with them. And if you see in the scripture, even the Philistines, there is always warfare. God will never allow. The Philistines speaks about the flesh. And this is their champion. This is the champion of the flesh. Amen. Are you with me? This is the leader of the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. And God has a plan to deal with this. And I can tell you that the strategies of God are very simple strategies. Not too complicated. Because oftentimes we just think that it is just some big things that God is going to use to bring judgment. No. He's going to use the little things. The small, small things around you. The small, small personalities around you to bring about victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just go with me. Look at the same First Samuel chapter 17. Goliath has bragged, has made noise. Hallelujah. And constantly Goliath is backing. He's always speaking. He's always challenging the power of God. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you know that Goliath is always challenging the power of God, even in your own very life. He's speaking louder, shouting, bringing you down and saying that you're good for nothing. Look at you. That is Goliath. He came before the armies of God and he was defiling the armies of God. He was telling them that, listen, you, Israel, who are you? Hallelujah. Amen. He defied them. And he was every time talking. Hallelujah. Amen. He said that, I don't need to fight with all of you. Just give me one man. God is in need of one man to deal with who? Goliath. One man. Just one man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can tell you that that one man is a many-membered body. Are you with me? Hallelujah. To deal with Goliath. Hallelujah. That does not mean that as an individual, you cannot confront Goliath. There is a Goliath in your life. that must be overcome. Hallelujah. And what is it? Every time there are things we are struggling with. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. There are things I'm struggling to overcome. That is Goliath shouting very loud. And sometimes he wants to bring me to a place of disgrace. Just take one step in error, bam. You are exposed. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Just he's always looking for a way to provoke you. And let it not be in a motor park. Hallelujah. You just go there. You start shouting. And everybody shouts. My dear, there is no difference between you and that person. No. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is a David that must overrun Goliath. No matter how much he tries to intimidate and to bring you under, a people must overcome Goliath. If there is anything you are going to take away from this camp, just know about the man called Goliath. And be determined, resolve in your heart that this Goliath, this thing that is always bringing me down, I must overcome it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Goliath is there fighting. He says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know whether you know the implication. This pronouncement by Goliath has a wider implication. And that is why we need to be very, very careful. If any brother is taken in sin, hallelujah, do you know what it means? It's affecting the rest of the... Are you with me? Hallelujah. If Goliath takes one man into sin, it's affecting the rest. That's the principle. He said, if I'm able to defeat one man, the rest becomes what? My servants. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, in Romans 6:16, to whom you do what? Submit yourself to obey. To him you become what? A servant. Hallelujah. So if any man in this congregation submits himself to sin, to unrighteousness, and you think that, oh, it is affecting me alone, it's a lie. It's affecting the rest of the body. Hallelujah. And that is why I must be careful in my conduct and the things that I do. Hallelujah. Because we are closing in. The time is closing in. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a, you know, it's a very dangerous time we are in. And many believers are conducting themselves in such a careless way, not knowing that what you are doing is affecting someone somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we break bread together, we are sharing in that communion. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is why the scripture makes it very clear. It said that when you are breaking bread, each man should do what? Examine himself. Why do you need to examine yourself? So that your contamination does not contaminate others. If you are overrun by Goliath, then the implication is that somebody somewhere is going to be affected. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, give me one man. Hallelujah. Amen. And the implication for the church also, what he said, is he said that if he is able to overcome me, then we'll become what? He's a servant. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And that is why the victory of one man in the church is the victory of all. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's a spiritual principle. If you try hard to overcome, when you overcome, somebody is tapping and drawing life from that you're overcoming. Somebody is being strengthened. Somebody is being encouraged by your own action, by the things you have done. Hallelujah. And that is why we must endeavor. Give no room to the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray that this will create an awareness of the power and the supremacy of the body, so that we all understand what God has in mind, because God has always walked through a body. Hallelujah. And don't you ever do anything to exclude yourself from being part of that body. Hallelujah. Actions you take have a far-reaching implications. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Then look at verse 20. Number one strategy against Goliath. Number one, against Goliath. One way you can overcome Goliath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not giving you gist. I'm giving you what I have experienced. Hallelujah. Number one is rising early and to be alone with God. Very simple principle. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'll tell you what it means. Because that is where our life is hinged. Yesterday, Bro Chiyuke was talking about it. Is it not so? About prayer morning. Huh? And evening what? Sacrifice. Praise God. Rising early. Hallelujah. Is one strategy you can utilize to deal with Goliath. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Hallelujah. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Hallelujah. His father gave him instruction and he quite articulated that instruction and he understood what that instruction was. Hallelujah. My understanding is that that instruction was passed to him the previous day, the previous night. Hallelujah. And he took his time to articulate what this instruction is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he has to get up very early in the morning to go and execute that instruction. Hallelujah. Praise God. So early in the morning, he rose up because his father told him, prepare, go and see how your brothers are what? Faring in the war. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And one of the assignments you and I have is always to rise up early to do what? To find out how our brethren are doing in the war front. Hallelujah. Praise God. But not just about them, not about the brethren, but about your own soul as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So rising up early is one strategy you can use against the enemy or against Goliath. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, we read more scriptures, you understand. Because when you rise up early, hallelujah, it's as if where you are rising up to take charge. Hallelujah. Amen. You are rising up to deal with it. And I've often discovered that when a man spends his time in prayer, all the things that are raging within him, all the manifestations of the flesh, all the things that have to do with carnality are subdued. Is there anybody having that kind of experience? Hallelujah. Is it not so? When you get up and you spend quality time in the presence of God and you receive instruction from his mouth, oftentimes he tells you the way you are going to go during the day. And when you obey it and go, there is a consciousness that begins to work inside of you to know what you say and what you do. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm saying is this strange. Don't you have that experience? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm not talking about averting dangers. I'm talking about averting dangers of the soul. The things that happen within you. If you don't spend quality time at home, hallelujah, and you get up in the morning and you're zooming out and you have gone 3-4 miles, my counsel to you is that turn back and get back home. Hallelujah. Amen. And spend some time with God and you will see how it will go during that day. My wife will use the word siririwere. Things will go siririwere. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a need. If you need to overcome Goliath, because he is out there. Goliath is found everywhere. Men are carrying Goliath. Hallelujah. They are carrying the flesh. They are carrying manifested. And even not just men. You yourself, you are carrying it. We need to be delivered. Because captivity must lead to Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. For everything that we are held in captivity. Because that is what Goliath stands for. He holds men in captivity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Goliath means habits, character traits, behaviors. Amen. He is eternally protective of the loins. So there is pollution there. There is every manner of thing. Hallelujah. But when a man begins to come into God's consciousness, which can only be obtained when a man approaches the altar of God, he just discovers that you're overcoming. Hallelujah. If you haven't experienced it, try it and see. You will know that truly this is a good testimony. It's a sure word of prophecy. Amen. Praise God. So David rose early. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want to know, hallelujah, and the essence of the implications of the death of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and how it affects you, hallelujah, then you must rise up early to pursue him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, let's read it in Mark chapter 16. There was something the disciples did there. Hallelujah. They were people, hallelujah, they were living in that consciousness. Hallelujah. The disciples, Mary Magdalene, they rose early. Hallelujah. To do what? What did they go to the grave to do? Hallelujah. He says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Who rolled away the stone? Who rolled away the stone? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Who rolled away the stone? They came there. They said they were wondering. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there are many assumptions we have about the power of God. And my natural mind will always, because Goliath means manipulating my natural mind to think that everything is impossible. Hallelujah. But when a man begins to approach God, you just discover that those things that you thought were impossible, they are what? Possible. Amen. Hallelujah. By the time they got there, the stone was rolled away. Hallelujah. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, he is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they had laid him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Number one, their intention was to go and do what? Anoint Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My rising up early, the intention is to anoint Jesus. Hallelujah. You bring a fresh fragrance. Fresh anointing upon him. Hallelujah. A woman got up and, you know, it overtook her entire personality. Hallelujah. She got the most expensive perfume. And what did she do? She went and started anointing the head of Jesus. Are you with me, brethren? Hallelujah. So when we wake up early, we are anointing him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when we come to the place where we are anointing him, I can tell you that every stone can be rolled away. Hallelujah. The things that seem to be impossible, they become possible. Hallelujah. You ask yourself, I never knew, is this simple? Praise God. Hallelujah. Just one morning, maybe you are confronted with an issue. Just spend some time to pray about it. Think about it. And say, God, I hand over this matter to you. Suddenly you discover that by morning, there is solution. What happened? There was an intervention. Hallelujah. God intervened. And you say, I never knew. What happened? It's because Someone rolled the stone away. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll take another scripture. I want to dwell a little on this rising early because it's important. Many of us treat it anyhow. But I can tell you that that is the secret. That is a place where we can unlock that secret. Hallelujah. Of constant victory. Many of us are living defeated Christian lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Because some of these little things that we see, you know, to us is little, they are the very essence that can keep us and give us victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus himself had to rise up early. Is it not so? Amen. He has to be alone. He has to put all the problems and all the crowd. He has to just put them aside. Sometimes you need to just put things aside. Hallelujah. You tell them, you wait. Hallelujah. Because we need to consult. Hallelujah. Verse 35 says, and in the morning, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there did what? Prayed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you can discover that was why. Now, in Luke chapter 4, he was able to deal with devil. He was able to deal with Goliath and put him in place. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Because he came up to the top pinnacle, top of the mountain, and there the devil was constantly trying to tempt him. But because the man has fortified himself by waking up early and speaking to God, the devil has no power over him. Why is it that we are always, you know, falling and getting up? It's just because we do not keep our place in coming into the presence of God early and begin to talk to him about issues. I pray that this will be a habit that will develop from this camp. Amen. Amen. All the little things that we see that are happening to us, as we begin to obey the word of God, we are going to receive strength to overcome them. Genesis 22. Hallelujah. Genesis 22. Hallelujah. There was something that happened with Abraham and Isaac. Hallelujah. It says, and it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And what did Abraham do? Abraham rose up what? Early in the morning. Hallelujah. He rose up early in the morning to go and do what? To bring his sacrifice. To offer Isaac up to God. He rose up early in the morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I can tell you that it was such a hard decision. Hallelujah. For a man to offer his only son. Hallelujah. But because God has dealt with the heart of this man, God had to say, listen, you must obey this. Hallelujah. You know, and that is the secret. Hallelujah. And God is tempting many of us. Hallelujah. God is tempting many of us with many things. And he just wants to see how faithful you are. Hallelujah. Amen. As a young boy those days, if my father or my mother or my uncle that I lived with, if they come and early morning, you hear them, those days we used to sleep on the mat on the floor. Hallelujah. You know why I'm saying that? Okay. Praise God. Never know suffering. Hallelujah. Come, they use leg. Come on, get up. Hallelujah. You look outside, everywhere is dark. You know that there is trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. If a man wakes up early in the morning to seek God, it does mean that thing is very, very what? Important to him. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Early in the morning, that is when I read the scripture, the thing sinks. That is when I understand better. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when I hear better. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important. Here, Abraham had to wake up early to execute God's instruction. Hallelujah. He took the ass and he took the young lad and they took off for the journey. Hallelujah. And he went there. Hallelujah. It does mean that this sacrifice was very, very important to Abraham. If you need to make some important decisions, I will advise you early morning. Visit God. Go to God. Talk about it. And when I mean early morning, I'm not talking about 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. Amen. For me, everything from midnight down is what? Early morning. Are you with me? I'm not talking about midnight prayer. If it's, that is your, that is just the way you are. Anything from 12 midnight down to 6 o'clock on the average is what? Early morning. Are you with me? Praise God. Amen. There are some of us here that don't sleep. And you are awake. It's not that you are praying. You are there pressing WhatsApp. Some will reply WhatsApp at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. True or false? Oh, you don't want to... Amen. Convert that. Convert it to a time of prayer. Are you with me? Amen. My own, when I wake up to go and wee, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., that is the time prayer starts. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And try it for 1 week. It gets into your system. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Abraham did it. It was so important to him. The man had to wake up early. Hallelujah. How early? How quick are you to respond to the instructions of God? Abraham did that. His heart was resolved. Hallelujah. You know why he had to do that? If he will, or if he did not do it, what is going to happen will be that jokes. Amen. Amen. Okay. Please beg him. Oh. Hallelujah. Beg him that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, if he didn't do that, if he did not resolve in his heart, what will happen next? Did God say? And did God need not say? Doubts will come in. Hallelujah. But that, the man resolved in his heart that this is an instruction from God. I must do it. Praise God. Let's go faster. Hallelujah. Amen. Jacob rose up early to build an altar. Genesis 28. Just look at verse 18 there so that we can go faster now. Okay, let's take it from verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for what? A pillar. And poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place what? Bethel. Say, but the name of the city was called Luz at this day, at first. Praise God. He saw God there. Early morning he rose up. He anointed the place. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Moses did set up altar. And he also set up pillars. Hallelujah. Exodus 24. I'll read 1 to 4. It says, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, But they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and did what? Builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So he woke up early, hallelujah, to set up the altar. Hallelujah. Praise God. We must wake up early to set up the altar. Hallelujah. If you don't do it, that is the beginning of trouble. If you must overcome Goliath and deal with him, there must be an altar. And I want to touch a little bit on what I am seeing in Pentecostal church about altar. And that is not correct. That is not correct. This altar we are talking about is not what a physical thing. Are you with me? Because what they do now, they have something like a stick they bring, maybe like a cross, and they carry their mantle and put on top of it. And they say that is the altar. Hallelujah. If you are in a place where that is done, please just excuse yourself and get out. I'm telling you personal experience. Praise God. And they will come, they will pour oil on that place. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is not the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither are they going to say, oh, you see, this place is altar, so this altar is immovable. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are a moving altar. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was dealing with a man in the Anglican church. He said, you know why we cannot share this place with Pentecostals? Because this altar, we cannot move it. Hallelujah. Praise God. The altar we have, hallelujah, can move down to anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we are talking about the altar of what? Of altar of the soul. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Look at the same 34 of the same Exodus 34. 1 to 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew these two tables of stone, like unto the first. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou didst break. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Hallelujah. Amen. Early in the morning is when you come to do what? To present yourself unto the Lord. Are you with me? Are we together? Hallelujah. He said, come up to this mount and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee. Hallelujah. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stones like the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone early in the morning. He said, present yourself. In other words, early in the morning gives us an opportunity to do what? To present ourselves unto the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go. Number two. We just finished dealing with... No, I'm just omitting some things. Number two. Obey the instruction of thy father. If you must overcome, the second strategy is to do what? Obey the instruction of the father. You know, David was able to overcome Goliath. If he was a disobedient child, he wouldn't have been able to do what? To do that exploit that he did. Are you with me? The father gave him instruction. He said, take food, go and see how your brethren are doing, and he obeyed. Hallelujah. And I can tell you also that the defeat of Saul is because of his what? Say it loud now. Disobedience of Saul. That was his undoing. That was why he couldn't overcome Goliath. That was why he was afraid. When you are walking in disobedience, Huh? Anything can terrify you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the righteous shall be what? As bold as a lion. Hallelujah. When you obey God, you fear nothing. Hallelujah. You fear nobody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, your name becomes what? Fearless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, I fear nobody. I fear no devil. As long as I walk in obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, hallelujah, to obey is what? Is better than sacrifice. And to hearken that what? The fat of rams. Don't waste your time offering sacrifice when you have refused to obey God. It's not going to be acceptable. In fact, it says it's like what? An abomination unto him. If you know you are living in rebellion, waking up early is an abomination to God. Get your ways right with God. Hallelujah. And when you do that, your offering will be accepted by him. Praise God. Amen. Number three, keep your eyes on the promise. Very, very important. If you must overcome Goliath, hallelujah, let there be something that is giving you inspiration. Let there be something that is encouraging you to advance, to press. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, many people there, many people out there in Pentecostal, what is keeping them? Hallelujah. Huh? Can anybody tell me what is keeping them? To press on, which is wrong as a matter of fact. Rapture. They say, I want to remain rapturable. Hallelujah. That is what they are using. Hallelujah. So there is something that is helping them. But you, the end time church, that understand the principles of God, that understand resurrection, that should be something that should be pushing you. Praise God. Amen. So David kept his eyes on the promise. Hallelujah. Just go back with me to the same First Samuel and let us read it. Hallelujah. Because he had to ask a simple question. And a reply was given to him. He said, he asked them, verse 24 to 26. He said, what is going to be given to the man who is going to overrun Goliath? Hallelujah. There is a promise. There is a promise for overcomers. He that will overcome, hallelujah. In Revelation, he says that, I will give him a name that what? Nobody knows except him that is written on it. His name is written on it. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled. Am I reading the right place? Yeah. Fled from him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defile Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, hallelujah, the man who kills Goliath, the man who destroys the powers of the flesh, the man who destroys carnality. Hallelujah. He says, what will happen? That the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter. Hallelujah. And make his father's house free in Israel. Three-pronged promise. Number one, he's going to be what? Enriched. Hallelujah. Number two is that he's going to be one with the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. And number three, what? The man will be free from any form of taxes. He will be a free man. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to place any demand upon him. Hallelujah. There are things that are making demands upon us. But when you overcome it, nobody places any more what? Demand upon you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Nobody. They can't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you think the word of God is not true, try and overcome something. Hallelujah. And you just discover that nobody places any demand. No spirit comes back to tell you, you did not do this, did not do that, or pay us this, or do this. They will not. Praise God. Amen. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, that overcomes carnality, that overcomes the flesh, and take it away the reproach from Israel? When you overcome carnality, you are taking away reproach from who? Are you with me, brethren? Are you following? Hallelujah. When once you overcome any act of the flesh, you are taking a reproach away from the church. Hallelujah. You are taking a blasphemy. Hallelujah. Just imagine that one of us now went and stole and he is caught. Did you hear that, brother? So, so and so, this, so, so and th-. Are you with me? And in saying they go MIS fellowship or in they go Ezebogu fellowship, it's a reproach. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why we need to encourage one another all the time. Hallelujah. If you see where iniquity is, rebuke it. Tell brother, this is and so, so, they're not good. And while doing it, be very, very careful yourself. Is it not what the scripture says? Be careful so that you too will not be overcome by that same spirit. And in humility, you can correct him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Hallelujah. You see, when this defilement comes, it weakens the militancy of the church, the power to war. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why it weakens? Because, hallelujah, if any brother is taken in sin, he cannot go to war. He will endanger the rest of the people. Are you with me? Am I talking scripture here? You remember the case of Achan, you remember? Yes, he disobeyed, did something, and that caused the defeat of Israel. Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, whatever action I'm taking, I need to be very, very careful about it so that I don't cause the defeat of the church. Hallelujah. The church can really experience moments of, you understand, coldness and cloudiness. You come to a meeting, everywhere you just cannot penetrate. You sing and sing and sing until your body is soaked with sweat. You are not able to break in the spirit because there is something in our midst that someone needs to do what? Deal with. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The fourth point. Be careful of faith killers. There are things that kill, there are people that destroy faith. Hallelujah. Amen. From that experience, David came and he was running around his brothers. He came near Eliab. You know, Eliab represents people that say they have much experience. Hallelujah. They understand the principles of God. And yet they are not able to read the things that God is saying in the spirit. Hallelujah. They may be Christians, no doubt. And that is why you must be much more discerning on who you go for counsel. Are we together? Hallelujah. There are people you go and tell certain things instead of encouraging you to deal with the thing and overcome, they'll discourage you. And that is not to say that you become, you know, playing to the gallery, always hearing what you want to hear. No. But if you pray and God will direct you to men that will instruct you and tell you what God is saying, and they will tell you the truth about the matter. But you see, the end time church, we don't go to people that tell us the truth. We avoid them. Hallelujah. We behave like that prophet. He will never say anything good. Hallelujah. Or that king, you remember? They say, invite this prophet. He said, no, I'm not going to that prophet. He will never prophesy what? Anything good. And we avoid such people. But there are people who will give you the counsel of the Lord. Amen. So he went to his brother. Hallelujah. And his brother rebuked him and said, "What are you doing here? This battle is not for small boys." Hallelujah. "Go back and take care of the sheep." Hallelujah. The man avoided him. He dodged him and he went to another place. He said, "Now tell me, what did the king say is going to happen to the man who overcomes this?" They'll tell him. He said, "Okay." By the time he made several inquiries, the news got to the king. He said, come my boy." Hallelujah. The man was looking for, you know, there is a situation you will be in. You are looking for who will do what? Bail the cat. David appeared to bail the cat for Saul. He was looking for a way out. He was, in fact, he didn't know what to do. The man was shaking. Goliath was there barking and shouting. Hallelujah. Crying out. Putting them to shame. Saying, none of you is powerful enough to stand. And immediately David came out. He said, come. Hallelujah. He said, you are able to do it. Okay. What do you need? Hallelujah. Amen. Quickly, he has to put things upon him. And when he put that upon him, hallelujah. And I tell myself, hallelujah. Praise God. Do not use any weapon you are not what? Accustomed with. It's the next rule. Hallelujah. And what? How does it apply to us? Hallelujah. How does it apply to me? Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 35 and 39 of the same scripture says, 38 and 39 says, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you watching? Are you with me? The helmet he put upon him is what? Brass. Is it not the same with is Goliath the same Goliath brass? You cannot win this war by adopting the same strategy with the enemy. You cannot. Hallelujah. You cannot use his own weapon to defeat him. Hallelujah. Amen. But thank God for discernment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head. And also, he armed him with a coat of air. Are you with me, brethren? The same kind of thing that Goliath had, the same was he given to David. And David gathered his sword upon his armor, and he attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not done what? Prove them. And David put them off. Hallelujah. Every form. Hallelujah. Of every canal. He said, put off. He said, put off. Canality. Every manifestation of the flesh must be put off. You cannot win this battle by adopting the same kind of weapon, the same strategy. The Bible says that the weapon of our warfare, they are not what? They are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to what? To the pulling down of stronghold. You must adopt a different strategy. Hallelujah. If you need to have overcome. And the strategy is very simple. Take hold of your morning. Hallelujah. Take hold of your morning. Job 38 says, have you commanded the morning? I need to read that scripture. Job 38. Job 38. We read it from 11. He said, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Who has the authority to do this? Who has the authority to tell him you cannot advance anymore? Who has the power to tell the devil you can come, but you must stop at this point? You cannot carry on this wave. Who had that power and that authority? Hallelujah. Verse 12 answers it. Had thou commanded the morning since thy days? Cause the day spring to know his place. Hallelujah. Have you been able to order the day, command the day, and to tell the day, who is the day spring? Hallelujah. To tell the Lord to have his place. Give him his place. Hallelujah. And when you have done that, verse 13 says, that it might take hold of what? The ends of the earth. That the wicked might be what? Shaken out of it. That is the responsibility you have. Hallelujah. If you need to overcome, then this is what you have to do. Goliath is all over the place. The Bible says that he's moving around like what? Roaring lion, looking for what? Whom to devour. Let him not catch you. You cannot be his prey. If a man wakes up and seeks God, he is not a prey. I am not a feeding material to the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, I need to guard my loins. I need to be careful what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Okay, let me quickly rush through this. Things needed for warfare. There are things that David had. Hallelujah. In 5 minutes, I'll be done. You know, I'm an obi- 5 minutes, yes, I'll be done. Oh, you're giving me 10 minutes. Okay, praise God. Amen. Things needed for warfare. There are things that David used for this warfare. Hallelujah. And we can't go wrong if we follow him. If we follow the pattern. Hallelujah. You know why I need to follow him? Hallelujah. Not the things that he did, but he had a heart after what? God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So David, hallelujah, is a man you need to copy because of your humility in his heart. Hallelujah. But go back to the same 1 Samuel 17. You will see what he used for this warfare. Having put off the coat of mail, put off the helmet of brass, what did he use for this warfare? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He did something. He used something. Okay, let's look at it. What verses are those now? Okay. As you can see, all the things he was telling Saul. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Anyway, you go down, look at verse 40. He says, and he took his staff in his hands. One thing you need to go for warfare is what? Staff. He says, thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. Now, I have been thinking about it. Can that really be an instrument of war? Yes, I think it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that really speaks about instructions and taking of counsel. Hallelujah. Amen. When you take the rod and the staff, we are talking about taking instructions. Hallelujah. If you are not instructed, you cannot engage in war. Proverbs 20:18. Quickly. And 24:6. Proverbs 20:18. It says, every purpose is established by what? Counsel. And with good advice, do what? Make war. Oftentimes, we have engaged in wars that we should not engage in. Hallelujah. Haven't you seen somebody say, but you shouldn't have done this. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Where do you think it's coming? It's coming from counsel. You shouldn't have replied him like this. You should have been quiet. It's counsel. It's advice. Hallelujah. But many times we are unadvisedly, we engage in things we should not engage ourselves. Things that are not our business. Hallelujah. Amen. And that word of caution comes as the use of the staff. To caution you, to rebuke you. End time church must be ready for rebuke and correction. That is the only thing that can help us. Hallelujah. And yet when we are rebuking, we also have to be very, very careful, because you must do it. There is a maxim. There is something that is hanging over you. He said, when you are doing it, do it in love. Hallelujah. And that is the rod and the staff. They comfort. He said that they do what? The rod and the staff, they do what? They comfort me. Anyhow you look at it, the rod and the staff helps you, helps me, and sharpens me up. Hallelujah. Praise God. 24:6 says, for by wise counsel thou shalt do what? Make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. Hallelujah. That is what the rod and the staff represent. Hallelujah. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 9:7, it has another word there. But let us just quickly go on. Then the next instrument of war has to do with 5 smooth stones. Hallelujah. Those are the things that David used for the warfare. 5 smooth stones. 5 smooth stones. You know, there are types of stones. I'm not going to go into them today. But this particular stone that he used speaks about a stone. You know, we are all stones, lively stones. Amen. Is it not so? You are not answering me. We are lively stones being built into what? A spiritual house. So here we are, that there are stones. There are smooth stones. Hallelujah. There are precious stones. There are great stones. There are cornerstones. There are even stones of fire. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise God. But this one is five smooth stones. In other words, it has been smoothened by the rushing of water. Hallelujah. The water has gone through it all the time, taking out the edges. If you need to overcome and face Goliath, you must let water run through you. The water of the world must go through you, must shaping you, smoothing you up. Hallelujah. And that is when you are going to be ready for the masters. He said that if a vessel purifies itself, what does it do? That it will be meet for what? The master's use. Praise God. So that was what David used. And these five stones speak about the fivefold ministry. Wherever this is not found, you are not to be found there. Hallelujah. Are you with me, brethren? If the fivefold ministry is not functioning, hallelujah, where you have one man, lead the hope, and you cherish and you love it there, then you are not part of this thing that God is doing. Hallelujah. The five stones speak about the fivefold ministries that we find in Ephesians 4. And that is the stone that God is going to use for warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. Oftentimes we just end in talking about the fivefold ministry, that they are, you know, just ministry that will perfect the saints and bring to maturity. How can you come to maturity without a fight? Have you ever thought about it? We are constantly engaged in spiritual warfare. And it's the fivefold ministry that give direction for the warfare. In fact, in the time of Elijah, they will move, enemies will go here. Hallelujah. The man will be in his bedroom and he will tell the king, this is where they are. It's the ministry in action. Hallelujah. I think Brother Chukwu was saying that we need seeing eyes. Ministries that see. We need ministries that hear. Hallelujah. We need ministries that can perceive what God is saying. The fivefold ministries must function in our midst. Then we'll be able to equip ourselves for warfare and to move forward as a people. Brethren, if this is not done, the church is likely going to be overwhelmed and confused. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must be harnessing. We must be encouraging. The fivefold ministry, if we see it in a brother, encourage it. If we see it in a sister, encourage it. Hallelujah. And let us take away the limitations from our head. Because this is what is going to cause this Goliath to be smitten. Hallelujah. Praise God. And before I read, say the final thing here. You see, you notice that Goliath did not carry the shield. Are you aware of that? Did you notice it? Go to the scripture. He did not carry shield. There was a man, there was someone carrying the shield for him in his front. You know what it is? They are projections. Just let's look at it. Desires, cares, emotions, things that worry us. The enemy, the Goliath throws it at you. And when once you get occupied in it, you are taken. Hallelujah. Lot of cares and worries. Hallelujah. Surfeiting and drunkenness is overrunning us. Hallelujah. You know, we have come to a point where we now look at ourselves and we compare ourselves with ourselves. We compare ourselves with the world. One day God had to rebuke me. You are comparing yourself with your classmates. Do you know what they are doing? Hallelujah. Do you know how they are making their money? Hallelujah. He says that they that compare themselves with them, they are not what? Oh, you don't have any wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. If we can only keep our gaze on the Lord. Hallelujah. In his time, he does what? He makes all things beautiful. Amen. The final weapon that he will use, that you will use, is the sling. Sling is an instrument of war. Hallelujah. It's an instrument of warfare. Hallelujah. Amen. And that sling speaks about the word of our testimony. It speaks about the things that we arsenal we release. The words you speak, they are powerful. He said, the word that I speak, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Amen. He spoke about somebody, about a group, 700 of them. He said that when they throw the sling, they never miss. Hallelujah. He said, at a hair's breadth. And that was what David used. And it just went straight to the very epicenter of the entire being of Goliath. Hallelujah. And what does that mean? We are talking about the power of imagination, the power of the mind. The devil projects at us. Hallelujah. And by the time you know it, man is taken out of bed. He tried that with Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. He tried to project cares and worries. He said, bow down, hallelujah, to me, and I will give you all the things that you ever desired. Bow down to me. Come on, turn this bread to stone. He was projecting the mind at Jesus. But the man had what? He had a sling. He returned it. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I have no portion in this matter. You have no portion. You cannot. Hallelujah. Amen. What is the level of the word you have? Where is your sling? Hallelujah. If you do not give yourself to this word, the enemy is going to likely come to overrun. Therefore, get enough of the word. Hallelujah. And at this point, we will release and we will not miss. Hallelujah. So let me read 2 Corinthians. And when you go back, you can read it. You can read the rest of them. 1 Timothy 1:18 is also part of it. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Hallelujah. Or 3 and 4. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, hallelujah, we do not war what? After the flesh. In other words, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. Brethren, let us stop looking at things from the carnal perspective. The more we look at the carnal, the more carnal we become. Because it's what a man looks at that he turns into. But begin to look at the spiritual. The things that happen, the circumstances of life that happen to us. Give it a spiritual interpretation and you see it clearly. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, the projections that come from Goliath, from the realm of the mind. David had to, you know, hit the sling, the stone right there, and the man fell. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge. If you need to revenge any disobedience, then your own obedience must be complete. God bless you.